97 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Sean Dalton Kelly, Dr. Bill Kane. And, of course, you at 343-0106. 343-0106. Probably put that in your contacts. Text us anytime. Call us different hours of the day as we are on the text line compiling all the list here for exterior shots from sitcoms and dramas over the years and houses or apartments that should be remodeled. Also, as we pull back the curtain, the discussion while we were in the news break was wide-ranging, but did somehow deal with the scanner, the TSA scanner.
Yes.
And as I just got back from traveling, you know how they'll pick certain people to go through the scanner?
Uh-huh. You have the arrow over your
head. You get picked all the time.
Well, there was when I was younger.
No, give me a break. You're a child now.
No, you watch yourself. No, I just, there's certain airports that you go through that tend to pick women a little bit more than men. And based on what you're wearing, you know they know that you don't have something extra.
Right. Well, they unfortunately had bad judgment, you know, coming and going from our trip because they picked me. You know, the hell of a thing, like, here's the family. Who wants to be the scanner person? I'll say, I'm your scanner. I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your scanner person.
That's right. And I do.
Do what you want.
I remembered it, I think. First, I think I forgot the second time. Oh, quite often, I will wink as I go into the scanner.
So you make it very uncomfortable.
Yes, I make it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make it very uncomfortable for everybody.
Well, I will say this. You know, having lived overseas where there's no questioning of, will you please step aside?
Right.
The way they pat you down is something serious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you get it. The whole point is everybody to be safe. So having gone through that, over here, it's like a massage, quite honestly.
Well, you know, normally I go right on through, no problem. Mm-hmm. But this last trip I took, flying out to Missouri, so the first time I'm flying out that way, there's a guy in front of me in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it was here in Mobile, and he was acting a little strange, and he started to enter the windy course that takes you up there, and he gave this ticket over, but then he turned around like he was going to leave after giving his ticket and
his
ID. A little strange, right? And I'm right behind this guy. So after they say, no, you need to go ahead and go through. Mm-hmm. Stop acting so weird. They didn't say that. But so I go behind him. This guy walks right on through after acting like the weirdest guy in the entire airport. And I'm the one that gets the scan. And then on my way back through, a guy in front of me with a beard that had the rubber bands, you know, in the beard. And it goes all the way down to the ground.
Right.
He walks right on through. They pick me again right after him. So
well, you look, you know.
I guess so. I don't know what it was.
A special profile set up for cool people
just
like
you. Start doing what I do. Seriously, wink at them as they pick you. Just wink and then go in there with a little grin on your face.
That is not cool.
Oh,
but you know what I do like that has nothing to do with TSA? I love the fact that you can take in an empty water bottle and they have different water stations that you can fill up because water is so expensive once you get past security. I'm sure you really remember that.
Yes, we have.
Because everybody gets thirsty when it's like $3 a bottle.
That is correct. That's correct. And then they demand snacks and, you know, there's a whole other story. All right. Also, too, we can keep this going on the text line. Really fun as people are suggesting buildings, places, exteriors from TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
HGTV ended up being the top bidder to get the Brady Bunch house. And so we're saying maybe there's a TV show in the making where they would buy these iconic properties from shows and then get something from 100 years ago or 50 or 25, you know, different, like, here's a ranch house from the 70s. Here's a 60s style house. Here's somebody suggested the cabin from Bonanza. Old school. I like that. Everybody loves Raymond, his mother's house. That would be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Somebody suggests get Marcia and Jan as guest decorators. That would be groovy.
Marcia.
That'd be so groovy. Mm. So there you go. This is a... somebody suggesting that we get Danny. Yeah, if Danny Lipford would do it. Danny's going to be on the show with us on Friday, so maybe we can ask Danny if he would be into getting some iconic houses from TV shows and doing remodels in them. That'd be cool.
He's so talented, as is his daughter as well. I mean, it's like a child like that. What did you give her growing up, you know, to play with his construction?
She was on you talked to Chelsea. I mean, she was she was around Daddy and
I love it. I love it.
From the word go. All right, we'll take some calls, a couple stories of it. Okay, we'll go to the phones here before we go any further. And is it Dutch? Dutch.
Yes. Which
Dutch.
Yes.
Hey, Dutch.
Yeah, I was listening at you the other day. You were talking about how the kids, the volleyball team went on the island and put up a volleyball net.
I don't know if they were a team.
Bird habitat.
I don't know if they were. Dutch, hold on. Dutch.
While they play volleyball all day.
Dutch.
Dutch.
Somebody ought to tell them to stop.
Okay, we're going to put Dutch on hold for a second. Okay, Dutch, here's how it works in the conversation. I just want to add something, so I'll add something quick, and then you can go back to talking. Nobody said it was a volleyball team. It was people playing volleyball. I don't know that they were there in uniforms, but yes, people were like a pickup game. Right, people were out on Sand Island playing, this was around the 4th of July weekend, playing volleyball that disturbed those least tern nests, which are a seagull. Like, everybody calls them all seagulls, but the kind of bird it is called a tern, T-E-R-N. Mm-hmm. All right, Dutch. Okay. So it was not a team, but people went and played volleyball. So what's up?
What's up? What's up was I didn't hear nobody talking about arresting nobody. I didn't hear nobody talking about fining no one. I didn't hear nobody saying anything, but somebody should tell them to stop it. It sounded like those were a bunch of privileged white kids out there doing that because, yeah, I think if they were black, they would have been locked up at that time. Am I right or wrong?
I think you're wrong. And
I
if you,
you
if
really you think I was wrong,
yeah.
Though,
well, Dutch, did you listen to the show when I talked to Ben Raines?
I listened to the whole show, and the only thing you said was somebody should have told them to stop it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
but
the only
but
thing you said.
But Ben said they violated federal law. I said they were probably ignorant to the fact that it was against law.
The fact that the law is no excuse for criminal charges.
Yeah, well, if nobody was out there to see them do it, you know, that was law enforcement, or they probably would have busted them, Dutch. So your point
well,
here is...
you know
is,
who did it because
I don't.
Y'all told about it and nobody
I don't know who did
complain
it.
On it.
Dutch, I don't know who did it.
The man told you who did it.
He doesn't know who did it. They don't have the names of the people.
Okay.
I mean, let's not let facts get in the way.
I think you'd come up with something like that.
Wait. Now, this is good. So I'd come up with something like that. So you're telling me you're pretty sure because they're playing volleyball, they were white kids?
Yeah, I'm sure they were white kids.
That's pretty stereotypical, huh? Because nobody of any other color plays volleyball?
No, we don't have black people don't have that many boats to go out there and do something like that.
Hey, my daughter plays volleyball, and we don't have a boat.
Yeah,
but y'all have jet skis. You could get out there, right? And I'm thinking of three of my friends that are African American that have boats that go out there. And what, Dutch? What happened, man? What happened? Did we not fit a narrative?
We don't play that around here.
Not fit a narrative.
We don't play that around here.
Oh my gosh, I hate that I disappoint.
And here's if you emphasize ignorance as to what happened out there, ignorance comes in every hue and every zip code.
Guaranteed. Just stop at the stoplight. Look around you. Coming right back.
Thank you, Kane. 819 now on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. The right hire can really make an impact on your business. You could post to job boards and hope that you'll find the right person for your job. But think about it. How often do you check job boards? Why trust the chance when you can post your job to a place where people go every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities? And 70% of the U.S. workforce is there. I'm talking about LinkedIn. 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting those job boards. You can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights from their behavior on LinkedIn and rich profile data you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. So make sure your job gets in front of the right people. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. Right now, hurry on over to LinkedIn.com/WAVH and get $50 off your first job post right now. Once again, that's LinkedIn.com/WAVH to save $50. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
Right, 821 FM Talk 106.5. Let's say good morning to our buddy Jeff Poore with Lanyap and Breitbart TV and Yellowhammer News, and a man who spends more windshield time in the state of Alabama than anybody even running for office. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you on. And let's go outside our state for a second here, because I got to tell you, I'm deficient in knowing what was really the story yesterday in Ohio and Missouri, Michigan, Kansas, Washington. I knew there were some elections. I knew that President Trump had stumped for some of these folks. But what was the story yesterday, and what were the results, and what does it mean for us?
Well, the big one was Ohio. It was an actual special election where you had a Republican taking on a Democrat. Suburbs of Columbus, Ohio, it was I think Trump won it by 10 points. So, you know, it was thought to be a Republican district. But the Democrats put a lot into it. Now, the odd thing is, it's still kind of in flux right now. I think that the Republican, Troy Balderson, has a slight lead, maybe a little bit less than a percentage point, and it could be headed toward a recount. But the odd thing is, they got to do this all over in November. So we kind of have a undercard for the midterms. But Trump went up there and stomped for it, and it was really thought to be a bellwether where we're going to see a blue wave or not. And that's, you know, we what we saw last night. I think the Republicans are to come out on top. And
it's close, you know, though, right? I mean, it may be a recount situation.
Maybe a recount situation. I think the takeaway, though, is it's some Republicans and even some Democrats want to kind of tout it as a moral victory that it was too close for comfort. Trump won it by a big margin. The Republican, it should be solidly Republican, but you know, the Democrat threatened it. So that's the takeaway. I'm not so sure I buy into that. I mean, we did see a Democrat win the state of Alabama, which would suggest you'd have even stronger of a blue wave. So maybe things are kind of ebbing back that way. Well, where will we be in November? You know, that remains to be seen. But I do think the momentum's shifted a little away if you just take the electoral victories into account.
What about any narrative for the other states, for Missouri, Michigan, Kansas, Washington, anything of note there?
The Kansas GOP primary, you had a really strong Republican, pro-Trump Republican, Kris Kobach, running for governor. He just barely eked it out. I think a lot of people are saying that maybe, you know, being the pro-Trump guy in a place like Kansas, you would think it's kind of like Alabama. You want to be the pro-Trump person, right?
Right.
It didn't vote as well as you know, people had thought it might should have. I don't know that that's sort of one of the takeaways. One of the more noteworthy things coming out of last night.
Yeah, you mentioned Alabama and this blue wave question. Let's bring it back here to 2020 and when that Senate seat comes up for us to make a decision again. One of the people that may be in the mix, of course, a story from Yellowhammer News we were talking about last night and this morning, and that is that leaving the door open, former governor of the state, Robert Bentley, now will, possibility will put down the cool sculpting wand long enough to maybe run for office again. I thought he couldn't do that. I thought he wasn't allowed to run for office again.
I'm not sure that's enforceable, though. Can you, you know?
Right, he just agreed. He held his finger. He crossed his fingers.
Behind his back.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you put that in writing. How do you enforce that? Is that legitimate? And that's the big question. You know, we've heard people, you remember like Steve Nodine flirted with the idea, and we've heard these people go and get in trouble with the law, and then they try to make a comeback in politics. To me personally, what I think is going on here, he's just wanting to kind of revive his social media campaign platforms, and he's not really serious about a campaign. I think he likes the publicity, and I think that he kind of evaded the question just to kind of make that headline right there.
Hey, Jeff,
the door open.
Do you think that former Governor Bentley, do you think that he feels maybe a little contempt for Governor Ivey, that maybe she's stealing his thunder on the unemployment numbers dropping so rapidly?
Yeah, so that's the isn't that the argument Obama has with the Trump economy, right? That you put in place a lot of things, and it, you know, as economics go, it's kind of a lagging indicator with some things like employment numbers, and that she's getting the credit for it, even though he was governor and put all these things in place and was negotiating some of these big ribbon-cutting things that Ivy's getting to take credit for. So, yeah, I'm surprised that hasn't really come out more, but he's not really in a position to make hay out of that.
You know, speaking of Governor Ivey, if I wasn't already, friends with Jeff and I didn't know him, I'd be friends with Jeff because he offers the opposing opinion. He is the lone voice sometime out there, as so many in the media on all sides clamor in the state of Alabama for a debate between Ivey and Maddox, which, by the way, it's like almost a 50-50 tie on our online opinion poll question. There's at least one man out there, Jeff Poore, who's saying, yeah, what all the hubbub about a debate, right?
Yeah, well, he needs to get within striking distance before he's, Walt Maddox said, as the Democratic nominee, can start calling for a debate. Look, he's pulling in the high 20s. And if you can't at least get in the 30s, why are you worried about a debate? Get your poll numbers up first, right? My argument is this whole debate thing is kind of fool's gold for the Democrats. They may think it makes Ivy look bad and afraid of Walt Maddox, but I think the majority of people, this is not the issue on their minds, whether or not there'll be a debate. So I think the Maddox campaign has a lot of work to do if they really want this debate. But let's say they get the debate. Then what happens? What happens if Walt Maddox gets his debate with Kay Ivey? Do we think that he's going to be able to lay a glove on Kay Ivey, just given the aesthetics of it? I wonder. I just think they know that she's not going to debate, and she knows she's not going to debate. So we're just doing this kabuki theater right now for the sake of doing it and thinking it's going to be a campaign issue that will get him some traction in the polls.
Yeah, I would add, like I did, I was talking to Cameron Smith about this the other day, and he's one that is pushing for the debate. And I said, you know, if you're going to push for debates, if you're going to, there was some push. I'm not going to say there wasn't any, but where was the push at this level during the primaries? I mean, that is, hey, that if you want to get me to agree to really get rough with candidates and, you know, demand a debate, I want to see it during the primary. I think that's when it's most important, at least in this state.
Well, they did. Remember?
But not at the same level. They pushed. Like I said, I'd be remiss saying they didn't push, but they didn't push as hard as they are now.
No, but didn't you have a – it's different with a Democrat, and I guess. But at least with the Republicans, you had a debate. You had the three candidates and then Ivy with the empty podium. So there was a debate. There's not going to be a debate at all here. So, you know, my friend Cameron Smith, he got to be moderator and sit up there and ask questions. But I kind of think this is more of what the media wants and no one else really cares. It's people like you and I that watch this stuff. But do actual people care about the debate? And tell me this one more thing. When has a debate in an Alabama gubernatorial election ever changed the outcome of the election?
No, I don't know that. I have no idea. I mean, if there is one, I don't have the research on it. All I know is I'm looking at the online opinion poll question here, and now it's up to 58% saying, yes, they want to see a debate. And, you know, to be frank with you, I want to see a debate because of what I do for a living, right? I want to have that to talk about. I want to have some sound clips to play and all that, but... You know, that doesn't mean I can demand it here.
Well, I'm not against the debate per se, but I do think it's a silly thing to be calling for in the middle of this. I think from a X's and O's perspective, the debate is probably something you should have number 5 or 6 on your list. You got a lot of other, you know, there's a lot of other things you need to do to catch up with Ivy in the polls. I wouldn't mind seeing the debate, but I think it's silly for the hubbub about it when the candidate can't give Ivy a reason to debate him and take him seriously as an opponent.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Poore, check him out online. Probably Twitter, the best place to go.
Yes, twitter.com/Jeff_Poore.
All right, very good. Jeff Poore, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. And big thank you, man, for hosting the show last week. Rave reviews, man. I'll get you back soon.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't knock you out the air yet.
Hey, listen, Jeff is a contender for sure to knock me off the air. So please, Jeff, please do. I could use the time off, right? Everybody just had time off. That's right. Coming right back. More Mobile Mornings, your phone calls and text, 343-0106. And yeah, that online opinion poll question, 58% yes, there should be a debate. FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Open up some phone lines, 343-0106, 343-0106. Quick heads up, too. Thinking about saving money this summer? Heck, if you're thinking about saving money anytime, why not start by paying less interest on your credit card balances? I know I hate to bring this up with you, but I have a solution. okay? You can refinance your credit card debt with a consolidation loan from LightStream. Easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. LightStream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. So think about this. Average credit card interest rate here in the United States is 18 to 19%. Obviously, that's going up with interest rates going up all over the board. Drop that to 5.89%. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate, no fees. Why do you work for good credit? To get a better rate, right? When you go for a house or something, how about on your credit card? Say goodbye to high interest rate cards this summer. Start saving with LightStream, and y'all can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. Now, the only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Sullivan, my last name. The website, LightStream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto-pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for more information. All right, we'll go to the phones, and first up, John in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Doing good, man. What's up?
Couple of things on what Jeff said. Number one, in the Kansas governor, the Republican primary, the guy Kovach is beating is the sitting governor. The man was, I believe he was appointed to fulfill the term of Governor Brownback that was, or
Sam
the
Brownback.
Former Kansas governor is made, he's a, isn't he a, one of the ambassadors somewhere?
It's a question I don't have an answer to. I don't know that. So.
But he beat, but he is beating the sitting governor. So it's not like, you know, it, to me that would be a pretty big deal if you beat the sitting governor. And then for when he, you know, y'all talking about Obama taking credit for Trump, like Governor Ivey taking credit for the policies that
Bentley was intimating that in his shocker interview over at Yellowhammer News.
The exclusive.
Well, the thing is, Ivy hasn't changed a lot of the policies, I don't believe. She got rid of a lot of people, right? A lot of Bentley's people she got rid of.
Yeah.
On the national level.
A couple of them.
on the national level, Trump looked at Obama's policies and all the regulations and all the crap that was coming out of Washington and has done a 180.
Yeah.
You know, he cut.
It's not a continuation.
Cut regulation.
That's a fair assessment, because quite often it is true, if you look at economic policy, that things that are done, you know, don't resonate immediately, right? And it's silly that it seems to happen in the lame duck period with a president. They'll do the things they should have done in the beginning, they do it towards the end, and then it resonates down into the next term. But in this case, John, I got to agree with you, because what Trump has done is, you know, contrary, is not a continuation.
I heard something on, somebody was talking about being in one of the meetings that they were having in the transition, and they were talking about economic policy, and I don't know if it was Stephen Moore or somebody like that said, let's just do the opposite of what Obama's been doing.
Stephen Miller.
And that's worked.
There you go. There you go. John, appreciate the call. Let me, Stephen, I'm sure he's talking about who was one time, of course, which is so odd with what comes thrown towards Jeff Sessions. Mm-hmm. You know, Miller came out of the Sessions office. So. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mark in Wilmer. Now, Mark, you would have, going back, let's set this up. People are just joining us. We had talked about HGTV purchasing the Brady Bunch ranch house there for somewhere under $2 million, we guess, in that bid. And now they're going to put it on TV. And we suggested maybe doing a TV show where you'd get the exterior homes and apartments and things to make a renovation on. Now, Mark, you've got your own suggestion of what house should be remodeled.
Yes, the house that the Munsters lived in at 1313 Munsterberg Lane.
That thing's a nightmare.
Yes, it is, but it's still a classic.
That's the Halloween edition of the show, for sure.
Did the Munsters, did they have a real exterior? Was that, I don't remember, did they show us an actual house, or was it a, like a cartoon? I don't remember that.
That's a good submission.
In the series, I don't know if it was a house built on the set, mm-hmm. or if it's actually a house that they used a front setting for.
They call it the Munster Mansion. I just looked it up, found it on Wikipedia. I guess it's in Mockingbird Heights, California.
So it really does exist.
There is a real place.
Right up the road.
that would be a cool, I mean, you know, okay, well, this very creepy mansion's going to get a nightmarish, a ghoulish kitchen or something like that. Okay, we're going to put that on the list.
I could deal with it if I could afford it.
Wouldn't that be, I mean, and appreciate your call, Mark, but I think they, you know, and as Dalton said earlier, the more we talk about it, the more somebody else is going to do it. But listen, I've been doing that for 26 years.
What about Mama's Family?
What was the did the home look? I know the show, but I don't remember the exterior shot.
Mm-hmm. They always showed it in the intro. You
yeah,
know,
yeah, I know
the music,
but I can't right now. I'm trying to picture.
I remember a long porch and swinging chairs.
I think I really do. Not just say this would be funny. I think maybe that's what HGTV is going to do if mm-hmm. they start off, if they're not thinking about that, because I think it was a brilliant move. And you'd say, well, they spent money they didn't need to spend. Yeah, I think they're onto something. And especially if they bring all their show people in that do all
nostalgic.
These flip it shows and fix it shows, and they come in and do it.
Yep.
They do the show, and then they sell the house.
And they have that person who played that character walk through, like, this is where we shot that one scene.
I think that's a pretty darn good TV show.
Yeah, one of my favorites here, the Clampett Mansion. And, of course, if you do the Clampett Mansion, you have to renovate their home they left,
the Beverly
of course.
Hillbillies?
Yeah, the Beverly Hillbillies.
on this episode, we take the tar paper shack and the mansion, and we remodel both of them.
And my suggestion here, you know, Sopranos, one of the best shows of all time.
Yes.
And so much of that show shot at the strip club in New Jersey, and
so
you got to redo the Bada Bing. If we're going to redo some classic shows, I think that should be on the list.
On to the next.
But you could, on the business side of this, not just the television side, you could get your host in there to do this as their show. Right? They're being paid. They're coming in to do their renovations, and then you sell the home. Make the money back and more for the company and go to the next home and the next home and the next home. I mean, you don't have to, you know, like if you produced a set, you just eat that as a cost.
Mm-hmm.
In this, your set ends up being something you can sell. Do I sound like the small business person?
Yes,
you do.
And Small Business Expo is coming up too, right?
Yeah, the Golden Girls House. Gamecock
yes,
Girl on the text
the Lanai.
Line.
Yes,
the Lanai.
Because Blanche Devereaux always had to go to the Lanai.
Yes.
What about, you know, there's a lot of shows that you saw the interior but rarely saw the exterior, so you kind of wondered, what did it look like? Like Silver Spoons? Remember Silver Spoons?
I do.
With Ricky Schroeder?
Yeah, all I remember is he had a train set that ran through the house there. And he would ride. It was big enough he could ride on it.
Or Webster, George Papadopoulos.
Webster
yeah.
Boober.
And Ma'am.
Yes. And Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, yes.
Ben says, yeah, Ben, we did get, he said, Married with Children. That mm-hmm. was one we addressed in the 7 o'clock hour. You found that home in Rockford?
Rockford, Illinois. That's right. I was mm-hmm. thinking Springfield. Or Springfield. But, yeah, Rockford, Illinois, I believe.
So these homes, you know, a lot of these homes, like the Brady Bunch exterior, these homes actually, you know, are... They exist, and
mm-hmm.
it may be a show in the making. All right, coming right back, more phone calls and more news right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. All right, 8:50, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Wednesday, yeah.
It's hump day.
Yeah, that's right. That's
midway
right.
Midway through the work week.
I think it's early weekend, the way I see it. Positive spin. Hey, by the way, whether it's today or sometime this week or the weekend, Stuart, when you stop by the original Oyster House in Gulf Shores or on the Mobile Bay Causeway, go for dinner. Snap that picture of the sunset. If you're on the Causeway location, I'm thinking, you know, framing up section of the Delta there and downtown Mobile with the sunset, or if you're down in Gulf Shores, Little Lagoon, you can take the picture from inside the restaurant, outside the restaurant. Either way, Original Oyster House wants you to post that picture to their Facebook page, facebook.com/Original Oyster House, and put the hashtag on it, #OOH sunset. And what happens here is you're going to be the running for dinner for two, up to a $50 value, and other great prizes, including an original Oyster House tote bag filled with goodies. The winner of the original Oyster House Sunset Contest will be selected by the original Oyster House restaurants, their committee. And I'm picturing them all wearing, like, powdered wigs and stuff. Facebook likes of the Sunset Post and or the creativity of the Sunset Post can improve a participant's chance of winning. Participants can campaign for likes by tagging after posting to the original Oyster House Facebook page and sharing the post on their own Facebook page. By posting your hashtag OOHSunset on original Oyster House's Facebook page, here come the lawyers. You fully and unconditionally agree to be bound by these rules and the decision of the restaurants, which will be final and binding in all matters related to the promotion. In other words, just put the picture up. Check it out. More details at originaloysterhouse.com or their Facebook page, facebook.com/originaloysterhouse.
And keep the campaign signs out of the streets, please. Yes. We don't want those in the middle of the road.
Still, oh, by the way, too, still some campaign signs out there. And for people that did not win in runoff or didn't win in primary, and they're in yards. And I'm tempted because what I said I wanted to get, and I wanted to get these candidates, and if you're listening, candidates, if you have signs, just the small sign, if you'll bring them by, my HGTV moment is to do some college dorm-like decoration of part of the station here with the core plast signs from all these different, we have some old ones and some kind of collector's items, but if you bring them by, I'm thinking about using them, kind of the vibe, you know, I was in rock and roll radio for years and had the gold records and all that stuff on the wall in my office. Well, that doesn't apply, you know, over the last 12 years of my life here, but it does for campaign signs. So if you bring them by, we could kind of do them like a wallpaper thing.
That's a great idea.
We'll do an HGTV
different
episode.
Colors,
when Danny Lipford comes in, he can give us advice.
Oh, yes. So they can drop off some signs.
Would you, like,
would I
bring
watch?
bring your perspective to this to make us look nice. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
I mean, make it,
you know? Yes, like a little to the left, a little to the right.
Correct.
Not right there.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Which is something I'm not good at. I'm just going to mash it up there, so.
You don't think some of those campaign signs that are still out there from the primary losers, maybe they're getting a head start on 2020? Is that a chance?
Quite possible.
They're doing that?
Now, it would be horrible of me to have some Bentley 2020 signs printed and put up and put in
That'd
my...
That'd be awesome.
Never had one in my yard. Never had a campaign sign in my yard, but I would put up a Bentley 2020 just to get the looks.
I think whatever we do, though, we have to have the before and after, because, you know, in the before, it has, like, the sun cannot be shining, and everybody has to look sad.
Right.
And then the after.
Everybody's having fun.
And slow motion music, you know?
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
And we have to put the station van out in front for the big unveil, and then we drive the van away, and then you see the shot of the new studio.
I like it.
You would do just like the weight loss TV commercials where they show the guy before and after, and all he's doing is sucking it in the second shot.
Wait, along those lines, this is so strange, but I feel like we're family. We can talk about this. So, you know, for women, they have Spanx, right?
Yes.
Okay. I have a friend.
Sausage casings. Yes.
They now have Manx.
And, no.
Yeah, that we have a friend, he's in the fashion industry, and I said to him, at the nappies, actually, and I said, oh, wow, you know, you're looking nice and fit. And he goes, no, I have one Manx. And I said, excuse you?
Oh,
I'm a
gosh.
Married woman. I don't know who you're talking to. He's like, no, not like that. So just so you know, there are Manx. And they're like, a one-piece bathing suit minus the straps. That's what he said. I'm just telling you.
Not in Alabama yet.
It's a sausage casing. Right?
You gotta, don't knock it until you try
nobody
it.
Nobody wants to see the sausage made.
And can I say real quickly, great job last night at the National Night Out.
Yeah.
It's great to see our friends in uniform and all the different community partners who are resources for our community. You know, like the Penelope House, of course, feeding the Gulf Coast. And they had some of the superheroes rappel down from the ceiling.
Cool.
It was. I posted a video.
Good deal. So that's going to be on your Twitter feed or
it's
on Instagram?
It's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
All right,
and,
trifecta.
Officer Owens, he said hello to everyone, and he really thanked everyone for coming out. And, you know, and the horses were there.
Yeah.
So cute. until they had to do their business. And everybody's like, oh, man.
They weren't wearing Hanks, were they? The horse Spanx.
By the way, too, I want to throw the set for Buffy, the exterior for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which, by the way, somebody told us on on the text line, that's just the exterior. We know that. Yeah, we're aware these are the exteriors, but they are emblematic of those TV shows. Even though, you know, the actual show is shot on a set, the exterior shots are what people picture. That makes, you know, that makes the fun. Yeah, that's the image when you think about a show. Well, this person would buy Gilligan's Island. I'd buy Gilligan's Island too.
Yes. Do you remember that nice house? I know it's not a show, but the nice house in Ferris Bueller's Day Off when he kicked the car?
Oh, the remember one that was house? Like all glass? Right. Cameron's house.
Right. Who in the world could live in that house?
No, well, you'd have the sniffles, and you're trying to put a car in reverse to get the miles off of it, wouldn't you?
Right. That totally just popped up.
Yeah, which is a classic film. One of my, yeah, was one of the choices on the airplane the other day, and I was so tempted to watch it because it's one of my favorites, but I said, here's my chance to see new movies. So I saw movies that are new to me.
What did you see?
I saw somebody, a friend of ours, Ben, asked me the other day what I saw. I saw the Flags of Our Fathers, and I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head.
Right.
Red Sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, which, by the way, they kind of let rated R movies be rated R on planes now, even though the screens are visited. So, it's kind of a strange thing.
Right.
It's
so good, you have to put, like,
good thing
like,
my children were sitting in front of me.
No,
so there's that. Hostiles, a Western movie. And my favorite of the four movies. And y'all, this is a feat. If you're just new to the show, it's interesting because I'm a guy that sees about a movie a year. Mm-hmm. So for me to see four movies in a week's time is a big deal. The movie The Big Short. If y'all are interested in financial things at all, if you were, you know, it was reinforcing to me that I remember back right before the collapse, I was watching the Ditech commercials saying they were going to loan people 125% of the value of their house. And even though I'm just a communications major guy, I went, that doesn't seem right. How do you do that? Well, these were the people that were way ahead of that and realized the housing crash was coming and were shorting the market on it. Really, I love the movie.
It's a big deal that you watch those movies because, I mean, I feel like every week I come in and I say, now, like, I know you'll probably never watch a movie, but you would really like this movie.
Right.
I don't have a chance to watch movies, nor do I.
But getting on an airplane, and you get a chance, all right?
Aloha.
Aloha. All right, be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Aloha.
Or would you say mahalo?
Oh, thank you. Mahalo, right? Aloha, hello, whatever.
I'm bilingual.
There you go.